Hello, and welcome to everyone listening to the Written in Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring Black girls who aren't all that nice, and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by Black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a Black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. And today, you guys, I am here with one of my favorite people, Tatiana OB. And she is an author who writes badass characters slaying dragons. She enjoys combining action with character-driven stories that feature diverse heroes and heroines. And her debut novel, Bones to the Wind, is a 2022 BBA or Black Book Award winner and a 2022 Indie Ink Award finalist. She once taught English in South Korea, studied abroad in Japan, and spent her debut year traveling the world. And she is here today to talk to us about her amazing, wonderful, incredible duology and a couple of other things, because if you guys are new to the podcast, you may not know this, but Tatiana is my friend and she also watches anime, and I don't know where this conversation is going to go, so buckle up for it. Welcome to the podcast again, Tatiana.
I'm always happy to be here. We always have a very good time.
We do. So, if this is your first time tuning in, I do want to let you know that Tatiana was on the podcast last year, and we talked about her novella, Sister Samurai, which is also available. And if you are an anime person, girly, boy, whoever, you need to go read it. You need to go read it right now. So go get it, come back, listen to the podcast, listen to this one. It's great. You have so much content to consume, and I love that for you. But that being said, assuming that this is their first time interacting with you, aside from your bio, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yes, so my name is Tatiana Obi. I write badass characters slaying dragons. So my first book is Bones to the Wind, and it's the completed duology with Dragging Your Bones. So these two are complete.
I have signed copies too, so if you're listening to this on the podcast, you should be watching it on YouTube so that you can see these amazing covers. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, thank you. And then I also have a novella, Sister Samurai. So yeah, this one's for all of the anime lovers out there.
Yes, which honestly, it's interesting because I was like switching up my bookshelf, like trying to clean it up and make sure that I have like things behind me like actually on display, right? And as I was going through it, I was like, I'm pretty sure that I have everything Tatiana has ever written on my shelf.
I mean, there are some things that have not seen the light of day.
Fair. Everything that's available for purchase, have a copy of. And I'm like, that's wild because I am not the type of person where I usually like buy things. I'm like, ooh, I like you. Cute. I'll get it from my library. I'm not going to keep it on my shelf, right? But I'm like, no, I have multiple copies of everything that you've written. I'm like, oh, does this make me a fan? I think this makes me a fan. This is kind of cool.
I think I get to that point, too, because usually I, you know, like you only have a limited amount of space for your bookshelf. So I'm like, OK, I usually will purchase all of my 5-star reads. Mm-hmm. And so once I start collecting them and seeing, oh, there's multiple of this author, I'm like, oh, OK, so I guess I like him then.
Literally that. And it's one of those things where it's just like, as an author who also writes, I don't know if you have this experience for me, because again, if y'all listen to the podcast, if y'all watch the YouTube channel, y'all know I'm a harsh judge. I DNF books, like it's breathing. Like, I don't know. You got to really convince me. It's not, will I finish the books? Your job is to convince me to read the book, right? I'm not the ideal reader for most authors. I acknowledge that. But it's also like with your books, I literally started reading it and I was by chapter 8 of the first book. I was so sad because I was like, oh, my God, I can only read this for the first time once. And this is going to be great. This is going to be amazing. And y'all already know this. I am a huge stan of a Forging of Age duology. Dragging Your Bones, Bones to the Wind. I said them backwards, but Bones to the Wind had me in a chokehold. When I tell you I was up to 5 a.m. multiple nights because Raja is unhinged, but she's also really incredible, but she's also unhinged. When I tell you she is the epitome of, if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And everybody around her is like, well, she said she's going to do it. So I guess we're all on board for the adventure now. Who's going to stop her? I can't. You know, and they try. And that's what I loved about Nico. She really tried. And OK, this is a slight spoiler for the book, but it's not. Because until you read it, it's not really a spoiler. But there's a moment in the book where Raja and Nico, they can't stand each other. That's all the background information you need to know. They don't like each other at all. But they're teamed up. They're paired up. Miko messes up Raja's plan. Raja is upset. Okay? She's been knocked out cold for like a solid day and a half. First thing she does when she wakes up, she's like, okay, so what happened? Where's the thing we were hunting? And they were like, well, we had to make a choice. She was like, it was already half dead. Why would you make that choice? What is wrong with you? Mind you, Raja has broken ribs and she's like, whatever, I'm leaving. It's in the middle of the desert. I ain't got no water, whatever. I'm a thug. I'm just go. And Miko is like, we're in the middle of the desert. Calm down, right? We'll figure out a plan. And Raja's like, I don't need you. I don't need you. And she was literally the epitome of Mushu and Mulan. She's like, dishonor on you. Dishonor on your mama. Dishonor on your cow. Like, I hate all of you. I hate all of you. And Miko tries to stop her. And Raja was like, fight me, bruh. And Miko was like, I'm not going to fight you. You have broken ribs. And she was like, use your magic and fight me, bruh. Bodies her. And was like, exactly. And then just goes on about her day.
You know, it's funny because, like, people ask me, like, so what's your favorite fight scenes to write? And you think it would be, like, the very long cinematic ones. But it's usually, like, the funny, like, the character ones like that I enjoy writing so much.
I lived for it. I was just like, it's just the pure level of disrespect that was in the book. And again, if you're listening to this, I need you to know that I have raved to Tatiana for hours about her book already when I met her when I went to Texas. But I need y'all to know how great this book is, because moments like that are things that I think are missing from a lot of fantasy books that I read in, like, I'll say the modern era, right? It's just like, I want fun. I want characters who are like, yeah, I can absolutely body you. And that's what I'm going to do, right? We're going to throw hands and then I'm going to go about my day. Thanks. And it's just the level of disrespect that was in that moment, because Raja told her there are giant monsters in this book, right? Again, not going to ruin it for you. Just know that there are giant monsters in the book. Miko can use magic. And Raja was like, you're not going to mess up my coming of age journey by using your magic and cheating, right? No. Raja, broken ribs. She told her not to use her magic against the giant monster trying to actively kill them. And she gets up and she's like, fight me. And I want you to use your magic. Come at me with all you've got, because it doesn't matter. I'm still going to win. And then she does. It's just that disrespect. And then they have a giant windship. And she just sails off on essentially a skateboard. And they cannot catch her. And they have magic.
Yeah. Like, I, you know, and that was kind of like the inspiration behind Raja's character. Like, her character specifically, like, came to me in high school, and she's haunted me, like, ever since then. Like, I had to eventually write a book or she wouldn't leave me alone. But, like, one of her inspirations was, like, I was reading all these fantasy books and, like, you know, like, the girls, like, they didn't do anything, you know, they had to be saved. And I'm just like, and even the ones that were supposedly supposed to be, like, strong female characters or action-oriented female characters, they didn't do anything.
They didn't do nothing.
Like, I'm like, I can't do this. Like, okay, Raja, let's go, because this is ridiculous.
This is crazy. This is ridiculous. And again, if you're listening to this podcast, this is why we are friends. This is why we are friends, because literally every time someone asks me, it's like, oh, what was the inspiration behind Brandy? I'm just like, I don't know. I just wanted a girl who was badass, who actually did badass things. I don't know. Like, if you're going to tell me you're an assassin, be an assassin. If you're going to be the best fighter in your village, fight somebody. I want to see it.
Yeah.
You know? Same. Anywho, I can rave about this book, and I will probably rave about this book for a good long while. Rest my life. It was a solid 5-star read. Book two. I got to be real with you, Tatiana. I got to be real with you. I loved book two. But you already know what my beef was with book two. So I ain't going to ruin it for nobody, because I can't talk about book two without telling you what happens in book one. But it was also really good. And it's one of those things where I will say this, because I will sit here and rant about you all day. And that's not what this podcast is about. I mean, it could be. And that's what you want to do. But I'm assuming that there are other things. It's just Tatiana has a way of handling things that would absolutely infuriate me. In other books, and has like, I've taken my beef up with other authors before. Like, why would you do this? I don't know. You were on a good roll, and then you just, I don't know, you stopped. Right? Dragging your bones. There was a moment, and I was just like, Tatiana, don't do this to me, babes. Don't do this to me. But then I understood And now I'm like, you know what? I'm at peace with this. I'm at peace. I accept it.
It took her a while. It took a while.
It took a while. At first, I was like, what do you mean? This is the end. I accept it. I accept it. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that pain. Okay. What I want to talk to you about specifically, what did you learn from writing Bones to the Wind and Jacking Your Bones? Because this was like your first, like, actually published books, and it was a duology. And in case you guys don't know, these are chunkers, at least to me. I don't know. If y'all out here reading Priory of the Orange Tree, you're like, oh my God, what? It's only 500 pages? Like, what is that? Right? But to me, I'm like, oh, these are 500 pages. These are hefty. Love this for me and for you if you read it. But also, you wrote a duology for your first foray into publishing, and you did it well. Like the cover, the formatting, all of it. So what was that journey like, and what did you take from it?
So in regards to duology, like it's really a duology because I wrote this whole story at the same time. So,
which is also a skill.
And, you know, like being an indie author, it's very expensive to like pay for proofreading and copy editing by the page. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to split this up in two. There's no way. There's no way. It's going to work if I did not, because the first book definitely helped me pay for the second book. So, you know, that is kind of what made like this possible. But like, because I have written other things, I know that my natural book length is that long. It's pretty long. So, and that's from writing other things. But that's hard. That's hard when indie publishing. Like, I feel as if there's more of an advantage for shorter works within the indie publishing space. One, because it's easier, it's less expensive, but you can also most of the time charge the same amount for a smaller book in a different genre. So, you know, sometimes there are very specific in-genre things like fantasy that makes it different from other genres and makes it a little bit different to publish things. For example, I know a lot of fantasy authors, they do prefer KU because, you know, you get a little bit by the page read. And so if it's a longer book, you can hold people's attention. That does favor fantasy for KU. But I decided not to do KU because I really wanted my books available in libraries and available to people. That was one of the big determining decisions why I decided not to do that. And just to also kind of have a little bit more control over my own work. But I think the biggest thing that I learned from the duology is that I'm a good writer.
And
I know that's weird. That's weird to say, but like before this duology, for a lot of authors before they published, you are kind of in a silo when you're writing. You are kind of, you know, especially before you find your community, before you have writer friends. You know, like I've been writing my entire life up through elementary, middle, high school, college. Like I set out to take a break from college and end up writing fan fiction instead. And I think that was also a big lesson because at that point, you know, like you are sharing your work. It's a little bit more safeguards, but you do get that critique and you do get that criticism. And you're like, oh, this is what I need to work on. This is what, you know, like I'm not very good at. And when I decided to publish, it was more of a pandemic decision. It was like, well, shit, things are going down. And, you know, I have always wanted to publish a book. And I was like, well, I'm going to get this done and I'm going to do it. But I don't think I had any real sense when I published it, despite all the years I've put into craft, all the years of reading and everything else like that, that when I put it out and reviews started coming in, I was like, oh, they're just being nice.
They're just nice.
Like, oh, I got the nice people. I mean, even after I published, it took some time for it to finally seep into my head, like, oh, I'm a good writer. And
people,
you know,
actually
that's a
enjoy
real
this.
Because compared to traditional publishing, in traditional publishing, you have those definitive markers. You know, you get an agent, you get someone to pick up the book, and those are usually the signs that validate your work. I'm a good writer. But you don't have that in indie publishing. And oftentimes, you have to make those goals for yourself. You have to validate yourself. And so that's definitely, like, difficult to do.
Amen. And there are so many things in there that I'm like, oh, wow, we could probably have a whole podcast conversation about that because, you know, as like we're both indie authors, right? But there are so many decisions that have to go into publishing the book that especially when you're doing it the first time, you're like, is this the right move? Especially if you're going kind of, I don't want to say against the grain, but kind of against the very popular advice, like, oh, pitch your book on Amazon, pitch your book in KU. This is how you make money, right? I feel like that definitely works as a valid path, but it's not always the best one. And I will say that, you know, from my own experience and kind of what I see from with your books and a couple of other authors that I know, it's just kind of like, I feel like KU is fast. Like if you were looking for that fast kind of traction, for sure, because people do pay for Kindle Unlimited and they will give your book a try simply because they have access to it, right? But I feel like when you go through other avenues, and like you said, you make your book available in libraries and you make your book widely available, which isn't an option if you're in Kindle Unlimited, you have a certain level of longevity with your books that I just haven't seen people really have with KU, at least not talking about it publicly. I don't know the numbers behind the scenes or anything like that. But when people are kind of like promoting their books and pushing them, I see that with a lot of indie authors, especially when they are on like Amazon, there's like this huge push, right? Right around when the book releases. And then you kind of don't hear about it anymore. It's on to the next project, next book, next thing that's being released. So I'm kind of glad that you touched on it because I feel like that's something that I personally would want to just look into more and be like, huh, I wonder how much of this is genuinely like this works versus does it work, right?
Yeah. And like that was also in my considerations to how I decided to publish as well. Another reason why I decided to go wide is our target audience. Like you do have a lot of popular, you know, popular advice in regards to publishing. But, you know, I'm looking at BIPOC Black fantasy readers. And yep. To be quite honest, the ones who read fantasy are usually reading chat books. And now you have the fantasy romance and the romance readers, but those are more specifically KU. When you're talking about people who like big fantasy, like what me and you write, they're still very much more in the trad space. So those are, that's the audience that I'm targeting. You know, they're not in that, like they're not in that space. I'm trying to gear myself more towards where my audience is. So like when I did do this, I definitely thought about it in the long term, you know, like eventually my name will be out there. Eventually people have confidence enough to pick up my book for the price that I think it's valued for.
Yeah. And I think that's also a thing, like as an indie author, it's kind of like setting the price of your books because it's just like, I'm so sorry that this book is what it is, but like also I got to make money off of this, you guys. It's not a hobby. I'm not doing this for fun. Okay. Sorry. Coughing fit slightly because I stayed up super late watching the Apothecary Diaries and it's catching up to me, but neither here nor there. You also mentioned something that I'm like, y'all just need to listen to Tatiana talk because she's dropping so many like nuggets where I'm just also personally like, yes, like knowing where your target audience is, because also understanding that, at least for me with KU, right? Like you said, that's a lot of romanticy, a lot of like straight up contemporary romance. And also books that are quick, books that are like 100, 120, 150, 200 pages max. You're getting into it, you're reading it, and then you're moving on to the next book. It's usually not a 500 or 600 page, you know, KU slog, right? With another book that you also need to get into. You know, it's a completely different demographic. And I think doing your research and understanding that is a really big part of being an indie author. You said something else earlier that I was just like, yup. And it's like that imposter syndrome that you have at the beginning, where it's just like, you believe in yourself. You've been doing this thing. You've been getting, you know, like you said, feedback from different places. But then it's also like, okay, now your book is out in the world. And then you get those nice, you get the good reviews and you're like, wait, you didn't tell me it was garbage? Like, wait, why? Why are you not being mean to me right now? And it's kind of wild. But then it's just like you said, it's that validation. And I think as an author, whether indie trad or whatever, like it's really important to set your own validation measures that's outside of someone telling you that you're doing a good job. Like there's always going to be that reality there, right? That like, hey, when someone tells you're doing a good job, that's immediate, whatever, chemical brain, dopamine, serotonin, whatever, reward, right? But it's also like, you kind of need measures where it's like, you look at it and you're like, oh, wait a second. they're not lying. Like, I actually am doing something here. Like, I don't know, in my head, the meme in my head that popped up was the one that was like, hold up, let them cook, right? Like, you need to have that moment with yourself, like, tell your imposter syndrome, like, hold up, let her cook, right? Anyway, I don't even know if that makes any sense because, y'all, I'm completely out of touch with reality and what the youngins are doing. I'm yelling at them to get off my lawn on Twitter at this point in my life. But all that being said, we do have a question from Ben in the chat, and he asks, how did you arm yourself with the knowledge about your target audience? And I think that's a really good question because I know we talk about doing research and understanding where they're at, but it's like, also, how did you come about this knowledge?
So Chelsea knows like how crazy I am in regards to like genre and like just knowing the genres.
Listen to the previous podcast because she goes ham. She knows her stuff, you guys.
But one, I think a lot of it comes out of passion. Like, I've been specifically in the fantasy space my entire life. I've kind of grown up in it. Like, if you asked me about like other genres outside of SSF, I probably couldn't tell you anything. But I have a very good general timeline, like how fantasy has developed here in Western publishing. Like, I did my high school senior thesis on the publishing industry and like sending querying agents out for my thesis.
I'm so sorry. This is the thing with Tatiana. She just casually drops all these things that are just exceptional. And I'm like, wait a second. You did a senior thesis on the publishing industry? Like, let's rewind.
So, like, I've always been very up to date about it. I lost touch with it a little bit after college and then kind of got back into it once I decided, okay, this is something that I want to do. Let me go read and see what's current, right? So I did go and do the research. I picked up a lot of books that, you know, like were current, people that were being published, and just to see what was out there. And, you know, just knowing how, and then maybe you want to talk specifically about your target audience, because all the books in fantasy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many subgenres and it doesn't speak to everybody. And, you know, so I want to know how can I reach my audience, and where were they? What were they talking about? What books were they talking about? And luckily, you know, like, my audience is very a reflection of me. Like, they love to read the same books that I read. So, like, you know, like, I follow them on social media. I interact with them because I like the same books. I'm like, oh yeah, that one was really good, you know? You know? So, like, they give me recommendations. I'm like, yes, I know that those are the same books that I like. And knowing that, you do very much realize how above all type of marketing techniques, word of mouth is still the most important marketing that you can get for your book. So if you make sure that your book is, you know, like, people close it and they want to talk to someone about it, that's powerful.
It is. It really is, because, again, both sides of it, partially as a really critical reader, because, side note, I'll come back to that. What, as a reader, but also as an author, right? It's just like, I've seen, like, as an author, how the numbers change when one person gets on the internet and they're like, oh my God, this book was really good. I need you guys to go read it. But then when you have several people saying, why are y'all not reading this book? This book was this book was that. You know, that is far more powerful than any ad, any infographic, anything that me as the author myself could post. That I don't say validation, that vote of confidence from someone else, it's just like, oh, it's kind of like when someone walks up to you and they're like, hi, I'm super, you know, I'm super hardworking, right? You should hire me. That is a lot less convincing than if someone who actually knows you and has worked with you is like, hey, you should hire that person because they're super hardworking. It's just a completely different perception, right? But also, as a reader, a fun fact, when I met Tatiana in Texas, one of the things that we did is we went to a Barnes & Noble and we walked around. And it was great. It was great. But I also feel like in my heart, Tatiana is such a sweet summer child because she gives everything a chance. And I'm over here like, first page, nope, I am absolutely not reading. And so as a reader, I get how powerful it is to read something that completely, I don't say alters your brain chemistry, but like really alters your brain chemistry. And you're like, oh, this was great. I'm really happy. I want to talk to someone about this. I'm going to tell someone who knows nothing about this book, everything that happens in this book, just so they can be caught up to the moment that I'm at so I can talk to them about it. Right? It's like that. That is a special kind of feeling that I feel like, as someone who writes books, that's what I want to give someone. But as someone who reads books, I'm like, oh, this is why I've been so dissatisfied with all the things that I've been reading lately. Because this is the magic that has been missing. This is the promise that has not been delivered on for me. But like I said, y'all know I'm a harsh critic. I will DNF a book really quick, fast, in a hurry because I'm like, I got too many things to do to be reading a book that does not bring me joy. I'm doing this for fun. I'm not getting paid to do this. I am absolutely not going to be miserable doing it. That, no. But it kind of goes back to what you said of like reading within your genre and understanding like how it works and what books are popular and why. You know, one of these days I'm gonna get around possibly to reading that book that y'all, if you listen to the podcast and if you know me, you know good and well that super popular book about the girl. It's blue and it's red. And I haven't read it, and I'm probably not going to read it considering what's in it. But it's also like I've talked to people and I've read parts of it, and I'm like, oh, I understand why people like it. But it's also like for me, I'm like, oh, I can appreciate this for what it is, but also recognize in that same breath that I don't want to do what this is doing. I want to capture this feeling, but in a completely different way. You know, and I feel like as authors, that's also a really powerful feeling of being like, oh, I like what you're doing. I respect it. I see you. I'm going to watch you so that I can continue to learn. But also, no, I'm not your target audience, boo. I'm going to stay in my lane, thrive over here. You know, get your bag, though. Get your bag.
I also think that's why word of mouth marketing is so important in regards to books, because a lot of the times you do form a relationship to the person that's recommending it. So often, you know, like they know which books you like and which books you don't like, and they'll recommend specific books for you, you know, to like your taste, or, you know, like you're confident in like this, your taste matches with this person's taste. And you're like, oh, okay. Like if they didn't like it, I know I don't like it. So, you know, you see these relationships forming and you kind of like building up that trust. Mm-hmm. And I'm very opposite of you. Like you said, I give things a chance. Like I do not DNF a book, but I will DNF a series. Like if it, I will definitely say if I did not enjoy a book or not.
And I appreciate that about you. I mean, I acknowledge that I'm the problem, right? I know this about myself. I live in my truth, right? But I'm also like, I don't mind being the problem.
That's fine. I think mine is definitely like the curiosity. Like I'm like, okay, let me go experience it for myself and see if I have the same experiences as everybody else. Or, you know, sometimes it's like, well, I wonder, sometimes I do read and pick up books for marketing research to say, okay, why was this popular? Like, what did it do? Why did it become popular at this time? You know, like why are the spinoffs, the successes. So sometimes I like to look at it in regards to like influence, how it's influenced the genre and why. Like, why now? Because even within the Black fantasy, like within the Black fantasy space or even with the speculative fiction space, you've seen trends come and go. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's the wider genre trends, but then there's even just smaller trends within, you know, within publishing. Like right now, I feel like we're in a horror girl, Black horror girl phase.
We are definitely in a Black vampire era.
So it's very interesting to see like even just the small trends, the ones that are, you know, like popping up and fading away.
Oh yeah. And I think kind of going connecting it back to what you said earlier about the word of mouth, you know, the ones that are super popular are the ones where literally everybody and their mama was recommending it, and to the point where it's like, okay, if I said, hey, I'm on TikTok and I just saw someone recommend me 3 Black fantasy books, I bet you can name the 2 of them off the top of your head. The 2 that were absolutely in that list, you know? And, but it's also like that kind of trust in the author where it's just like, you know, people will recommend that certain books, those books, and I don't even have to say them. You know exactly what books that I'm talking about. And people will recommend them having not even read them. And the thing that I guess is also wild to me as an author is that people will recommend them having read them and not enjoyed them to the utmost fullest and still be like, hey, but you should read it. And I'm like, that is the thing that I want to study, where it's just like, okay, you didn't even enjoy this. Like, you didn't rate this 5 stars. You didn't rate this 4 stars. You barely gave it 3. You're like, this is a 2.5 star rounded up. And it still made a recommendation list. And I'm like, that is interesting. What about this book? And I'm like, part of it's probably hype, right? Because everyone's talking about it, algorithm, right? But then another part of it, that's the part that I'm trying to figure out, right? Like, you read this, but then you gave it 2.5. But then you picked up the second book when it came out. And I'm like, this is interesting. This is wild. But I digress, you know? I feel like, again, it's just when enough people are talking about it, you know, it makes it so that, you know, people want to be part of the conversation, you know? And I don't know. I feel like that's also a kind of a hurdle as an indie author, just in general.
That's
like,
true.
Hey, getting people to read your book and leave reviews and be like, please go read the book. But that also brings me to the other thing that I want to talk to you about, which is reviewing books as an author, right? Because one thing that I have learned to do is I don't review books. I made it clear on my channel. I was like, I read more than I talk about. But for the most part, if I DNF a book, unless it's egregious, unless it does something that fully upsets me, like that one book that said Goku was a good dad. Now, rest in peace to Akira Toriyama. You know, he's gone. Hence our memorial shirts today. Moment of silence for him. But unless it's egregious, like telling me that Goku is a good dad in the book, what show are you watching? What anime, what manga were you getting into? Because I would just like to know how leaving your child in the middle of the desert with dinosaurs is being a good parent. I would just like to know. I'm curious. But
I digress.
Point is, unless it's something like that, I'm not going to talk about it, right? I try to only talk about the books that I actually really enjoy, right? But you, on the other hand, this is what I love about Tatiana. I'm honestly the mean one, but oh my God. Y'all don't know, Tatiana is scathing with a pen. Oh my God. She will wreck your little feelings quick, fast, in a hurry and do it with a smile. And she's like, I'm just helping. And she is. But you're like, oh my God, you did not have to get the shredder for my emotions.
But she's such a thorough reviewer, you guys. I tease and I jest. And if you guys listen to me, you know that I talk about her all the time, being like, her opinions are, here's the thing. Tatiana's honest and she's thorough and she knows what she's talking about. And so it just is like, as an author, if she's like, this ain't it, you can't even argue with her. It's just not it. You gotta fix it. So, all that saying, I love Tatiana. I love getting her feedback because I'm like, okay, if she approves, I did it. I'm fine. Everybody else, I don't say F y'all, but like F y'all if y'all don't like it. It's your problem. That's a you problem. How do you
go about that balancing, like, you know, writing reviews publicly and also like being an author and knowing how it feels to receive reviews and critical reviews?
Well, it's very interesting. I think this is when you enter indie publishing, because you want community. And one of the ways that authors help each other is to read each other's books. So you mm-hmm. see that happen all the time. So there's a lot of pressure, I feel, sometimes to read other people's books to say like, hey, you know, I'm involved in the community and I support other indie authors. And so some, like, I've seen some people are just like, oh, I'll give you a 5 stars for my 5 stars, like just an exchange. Like, I've seen that.
So early 2000s Wattpad, it literally makes me cringe. Like, what?
And, you know, like, and I've seen, you know, other authors, yeah, they go in and review other people's books, honestly. But the thing is, like, there are those authors that get sensitive over 4 stars, you know? So you go in and you're like, oh, you know, I'm trying to support you. I'm trying to help you. And then, you know, like, you're like, 4 stars. And they're like, ah. So, you know, like, so there's a lot of landmines to kind of like walk around. And, you know, there's some, like, I know, like, traditionally publishing authors, like, once they get a contract, they're like, oh yeah, we just delete our Goodreads. You know, they're like, you know, just don't review or anything like that. So when you become an author, a lot of authors are readers. And so you're going to have to make a decision and make a choice on how, what you're going to do and what your choice is. And so my choice is, as we were talking about before in regards to visibility, especially visibility for indie authors, you know, I don't, in this space, especially in regards to epic fantasy, I don't think there's a lot of people talking about, you know, like Black indie authors in epic fantasy. You know, when I was publishing, I just didn't see a lot of people prioritizing that stuff. So I wanted to make other people more visible. I wanted to be like, you know, like, these books is good. Even if I've read it, and even if it's not for me, I can say, oh, this book wasn't for me, but this book, you know, like, if you like this, if you like this, if you like this, you might enjoy this book. So the reason why I decided to continue reviewing books is because, no, it just, it feels like just a big space, you know, like, there's the Melanin Library and there's all of the stuff that you do on your podcast, highlighting, you know, like, India. I know you had The Fall That Saved Us on the previous episode. That was a really great book. But, you know,
also, slight plug, you guys can go listen to it on the podcast or on the YouTube channel. Just get into it because it was a great conversation. Okay, continue.
Yeah. But when we talk about visibility for authors, as we said, it's that hype. It's that conversation around a book that gets people picking it up. So if no one's talking about it, like, who's going to ever know? And, you know, like, when you first get into indie publishing, you believe people. You believe they're like, oh, yeah, there's no Black authors writing epic fantasy. Oh, yeah, there's no, like, you know, writing good epic fantasy. And then you take the time and you find them and you read them and you're like, this isn't true. You know, like, a lack of visibility is not a lack of quality.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm just like, I think it's just something I'm really passionate about. And I'm just like, we do have great books. It's just no one knows about them. No one's talking about them. So the reason why I review is to, you know, like, highlight those books that I think needs uplifting.
And I think that is really important. I think also, it's, as an indie author, I'm going to say this. I have a different approach than you do, right? Yeah. Because, like I said, you're on Goodreads and you post publicly, right? Which, honestly, if you're an author and you are listening to this podcast, then you more likely than not are in enough bookish community spaces on the internet to understand that, you know, the common consensus is that authors should not be in reader spaces because, like Tatiana mentioned, you know, there are authors who get upset if you rate their book anything less than 5 stars. Like, how dare you? Like, oh my gosh. Chill, Janet, okay? It's not that serious. But it's also one of those things where it's just like, I don't think I've met any successful authors who did not start out being readers first, right? And then migrated over to, I want to write my own stories, or, you know, got the time or the courage or whatever that journey is, from taking the plunge from, I'm just reading books, to now I'm writing them for myself, right? And in the beginning, it can be very difficult to navigate that chasm that kind of creates between those two things. Because on the one hand, yeah, you're an author and you know what it's like for someone to be like, oh, I didn't like the book, or I DNF'd it, or, you know, why would this happen? Grr. And you're like, wow, or I don't know if you've had this experience, like, people just make up things that weren't even in the book and you're like, did you even read my book? I'm a little lost, right? But then as a reader, like you said, there are so many books out there that don't get talked about, that don't get hyped up, that people don't know about. And it's like, okay, I'm not going to pretend like I'm not a reader anymore, right? And as an author, I'm not going to pretend like I don't understand the benefit of a review, right? I think it's deciding how you're going to go about it. And I think the way you're doing it, I respect it so much, because it's like, also, we've talked about this kind of, like, you know, privately, but also, especially as Black authors, you want other Black people to review your book. You know, it's like, even if your book is for everyone, obviously, we're not gatekeeping. We're not like, no one outside of our target demographic can read the books. That's not the idea. But the idea is, I do want people within my target demographic to read and review the book. So it's just like, as a Black reader who reads epic fantasy, it's like, that review holds a little bit more weight. I know that for me, you know, when I have a review, like, from you or from someone that I know who is actively talking about fantasy, like, not just, you know, that blue and red covered book, right? But like generally, like they talk about fantasy and the things that they like about it. It's like, oh, okay, your opinion now holds a little bit more weight, right? And you talk to an audience that follows you because you talk about these things. And now I'm potentially reaching more people who may like the book, who may give it a try, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, and that's was a part of my decision too, because, you know, if I'm trying to uplift these books and I want, you know, people to pick them up, I also have to gain their trust. Mm-hmm. And trust is through honesty.
Yep.
You know? So I'm going to be honest about the books. I'm going to be honest about what the strengths were and honest about what the weaknesses are, so that people will trust me and they will pick up the book. And, you know, I know that that's not for everyone, but, you know, seeing how that word of mouth relationship is, there's a lot of trust, you know, it's dependent on trust. And so I want to be honest, like, I'll say like, hey, this book wasn't for me, but I think this book is perfect for you. If it's a book that I do not think was ready for publishing, and
yeah, see how she worded that? You see how she just rips apart your little feelings?
I probably will not, you know, post anything about it. Like, you know, I won't say anything about that. If it's less than a 2-star, I won't say anything.
But, you know, I think that's valid. And I personally genuinely appreciate you and the fact that you review books and that you're honest, because you are one of the people that I actually pay attention to. There are not a lot of people that I don't say if they like or dislike, but depending how they review a book, I pay attention to it for myself, right? I pay attention to you. I pay attention to Vina, Miss Woman of Color Reader. I pay attention to the Golden Bookstagrammer, I think. Is her name?
Golden Book Hunter.
Yes, the Golden Book Hunter on Instagram. And I also pay attention to a couple of booktubers who are still on the fence. We gotta see a little bit. But there are a couple where I'm like, also like Capri's Book Island. I also pay attention to the books that she likes and stuff. But only because I appreciate when people don't just DNF a book or tell me that they didn't like a book. They tell me why. What was the thing that made them put it down or walk away from it? Or what was the thing that they really enjoyed about it? And for me, I couldn't do Goodreads, mostly because, I don't know, the way my brain is set up, I'm just like, if I can't write you an actual like long detailed breakdown, I don't want to do it. Like, that's just me. That's who I am personally, right? But I do enjoy talking about books on YouTube and on the podcast and things like that. Like, I want to give authors their space to shine, because I also feel like it's an underrated thing, but like the best person to talk about their books is the author themselves, right? And also just being able to be in conversation with people where it's just like, okay, you wrote a book. I respect you for writing a book. Even if I didn't like the book, you have a journey and you have, you know, a space here where even if the book is not for me, this is your stage, right? Like, sell whoever is listening to it, because at the very least, the people listening, I hope if you're listening to this podcast and watching this channel, you like Black authors and their books, you know? So it's like, there's an audience. Somebody may get into it. Somebody may pick it up and that may be your next reader, you know? I just can't be the person to be like, oh my God, it's great. I don't know. I didn't read the book. Except like, and I generally try to be honest about that. Like, awareness. I'm telling you about the book. I ain't saying that I read it. I'm not saying I'm going to read it. If I did read it, I will tell you. But if I didn't, can't help you.
Yeah.
But you also touched on something that I feel like, again, we could have a whole conversation about, because you mentioned like, you know, being honest. And I feel like there needs to be a conversation within the author community as a whole about accepting honesty when it comes to feedback, because I feel like so many people err on the side of hyping each other up. Like, we're all in this together. I'm like, this is not High School Musical. Like, we are not even on any, and it's such a dumb thing. I don't know why I come back to sports analogies, probably because of my family and growing up in sports. I don't understand them. So if the analogy is wrong, whatever, sorry, don't watch them. But it's kind of like, even on a basketball team, there's still people sitting on the bench. There are some people who are going to be playing the game and some people who are going to be watching. Everyone's not going to be on the same level. And you know how you get off the bench? You practice and you have someone watching you and telling you like, hey, you need to do this. You can work on this. You need to improve this. This is how you become a starter, right? And I feel like within the author community, there's so many people hyping each other up where it becomes, what is it?
When an echo chamber.
It becomes an echo chamber of, oh my gosh, you're so good. Oh my God, you're so great. So when you get any piece of criticism, any piece of feedback, it's automatically defensive. It's automatically like, how dare you not like my book? Like, how dare you like somebody else's book more than mine?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, y'all are weird, because it completely removes the reality that some books come to people at the right time, right? There's life that factors into when you read a book, right? And then, like you said, every book is not for everyone. Everyone's not going to like the book. Everyone's not going to appreciate the journey. And that is just a part of being an author. But I feel like more authors need to get comfortable with receiving feedback and appreciating it. Because here's the thing. I joke around about, like, you know, my feelings being hurt, right? Whenever I get feedback, right? Not just from you, but like also from Ben and from Law and Celeste. I need y'all to know that the Author Council, I love them to bits and pieces. These are literally some of my favorite women in the world. I appreciate them to no end and will sing their praises. But also, I'm a sensitive girly, okay? And when they're like, oh my God, Chelsea, you need to fix it, I'm like, but I work so hard. What do you mean? Right? That's internal. But then it's also like, thank you for telling me so that I don't go out the house looking crazy. Right? So I'm not on the internet being like, hi, you guys, this is my best. And it's really not. And it could have been better. Right? I feel like more people need that in their lives. And just hearing it and being like, okay, it sucks that your first draft or your second draft or your third draft isn't perfect. But that's literally why we have critique partners. That's literally why we have beta readers. That's literally why we have whole systems in place to have people give you feedback, because it's understood on a very base level that you can only go so far by yourself before you need an outside opinion, you know?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, feedback helps you grow. Like, yes. That's how you grow your craft. Like, that's how you grow your writing. I mean, you know, like, it may hurt, but that's how you grow. And one of my favorite things about our particular community in regards to Black women and Black fantasy readers, and, you know, like, they are honest as fuck.
Sure are.
They very much are. So once you know, you got there, they're like, oh, yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
It's good. And that's why I'm always so big on this podcast, on my YouTube channel. Like, find your community. Find the people who are going to be honest with you, who are going to tell you, so that when they tell you that you did a good job, you know that they're not gassing you. You know that they're not lying to your face to just be like, oh, I don't want to hurt your feelings. Hurt my feelings, please. I'm going to cry about it, but then I'm going to fix it. And that's what I need to do, right? And shout out to Venus also in the chat. She had a really great comment talking about there's so much toxic positivity in the author space. And then she was surprised to see that some authors last year said that they don't rate all of their friends' books 5 stars. And here's the thing. I don't rate all of my author friends' books 5 stars. That's just, like, we can be friends and I can respect you as a person. I can even respect you as an author, but I'm also not going to jeopardize my platform in an effort to hype you up, right? Like, if your book deserved 5 stars, I'll give it 5 stars. Or if it was close, because, like, as long as it is deserving of praise, then I will rate it accordingly. But I'm also not going to be like, how do I say this nicely? I don't know. I write books about Black girls who aren't all that nice. That comes from being not a nice person, right? I'm not going to be out here being like, yeah, look at my friend. That's my best friend. And I'm like, I wouldn't read the book. It's not on my shelf, but, you know, go off. Like, no, I'm not that person.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, I'm a compromiser. I'm like, in the middle, because... You know, knowing that, for example, on Amazon, a 5-star or a 2-star rates differently than it does on Goodreads, right? The algorithm is much more negative towards an author on Amazon regards that. Like, I understand the financial and marketing aspects of the stars, right? Mm-hmm. So my compromise in the way that I review is on Goodreads, I give everyone a 5 stars, kind of just for a participation trophy. But... my review is very honest, and I'll tell you what my personal rating was so that you can, you know,
adjust
it accordingly. So I'll be honest in the text. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, so because I am looking to raise visibility for indie authors, and I'm not going to give an indie author who only has like 3 ratings, you know, a three. And, you know, I'm like, to me, that's because I read a lot of them that don't have a lot of ratings to begin with. So I'm like, okay, this is my compromise. Here's 5 stars. You did a great job publishing. Here's my honest opinion.
And I guess my take on it is just slightly different, only because of the experiences that I've had in the past, where it's just like, I recognize that as my platform is growing with the Melanin Library and the Written in Melanin, and just with my books in general, right? Like, I'm very fortunate to be able to say that, like, so there are lots of people, I don't know how many, I'm not gonna try to quantify it, but there are plenty of people who have read We Are the Origin who have never come across my platform, who don't know me, right? And I have kind of seen, for better or for worse, the kind of backlash it can be on me and my platform and my books when I attach my name, I don't say, what's the opposite of uncarefully? Uncarefully is not a word, but recklessly, I guess, or just out of a friendship thing to someone else's book. And it's just kind of like, it was a hard lesson. I learned that lesson. And so now I'm kind of like, we can be friends, but again, unless I am willing to stand 10 toes down behind your book, unless I'm willing to pitch your book in conversations with my book or in conversations where you're not around, and I'm like, okay, voluntarily someone asks me like, hey, you get to recommend 3 books of any. If your book is going to pop up, then yeah, I'll do the reviews, right? But I'm also like, at this point, I'm like, I can't give you a 5-star on Goodreads, and that's there for posterity, especially if there's only like 3 reviews. And it's just like, okay, again, that's a whole other thing that I'm like, it backfired on me in a really visceral way. And I'm like, my bad. And I've seen it happen to other authors in traditional publishing. Like, what was her name? Chloe Gong. You know, she was reviewing all of those books that were like, y'all, like, this is super problematic. Why is she writing a glowing review for this book? Why is she blurbing this book? Like, is she problematic? And I'm like, there are always, you know, ripple effects and things to that nature. So my compromise with that is, you know, doing other things to promote an author.
Like, yeah.
If I will promote you on Twitter, I will promote you on Instagram, I will promote you on TikTok, my YouTube channel, I will promote you there all day, every day. But Goodreads, I'm of the mindset where I'm like, at least for me, I want the reviews that I get from my book to be genuine reviews. Like, you read it and you left a review because you wanted to. I don't want my reviews to be, I don't say cluttered, but I don't want to say, I don't want them to be dishonest reviews from author friends, because I know a lot of people do that as well, where they're like, hey, like you said in the beginning, you review my book 5 stars, I'll review your book 5 stars. And I feel like with author friends, depending on who the person is, it can really easily fall into that. And I'm just like, no. Yeah. If you like the book, feel free.
By the way, that's also helped me kind of to navigate this space. And everyone has to figure out how to navigate it for themselves. But I found that, you know, people who are receptive to my honesty, those are the people I want around me. You know, like, if you can't take criticism, then okay, your journey's yours. We don't have to go on this together.
She said, we don't have to be friends on this journey. You can just walk over there. But no, I feel like that's a real thing, because again, just a little bit of insight, you know, author council, like, first conversation we had, because just so you guys know, I decided to put together the author council and none of them knew each other before I threw them in a group chat. And I was like, hey, you guys, we're here. I did ask them individually first. So consent is a thing, right? I asked them all individually, like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Would you like to join? Right. But one of the first conversations that we ever had, like, as a collective group was, okay, so we're all good with being, like, really honest in here, right? So no one's expecting this just to be hype. And we were all like, oh my God, I'm so glad that you brought that up. Because, yeah, no, we're going to be honest. And it's been game changing. Like, even for me recently, you know, getting help from, you know, you and Celeste on the blurb for Project Necromancer, it's kind of like, yeah, I would have never thought about the things that y'all brought up, because the world lives in my head. And I'm like, oh yeah, this makes perfect sense, right?
But yeah, and that's why it's important to have, like, especially author friends around you, because when you're so close to a work, there are things that you don't see. Like, it's so, you're so close to it and you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense when someone points it out. But yeah, like, I was glad we had that conversation, and, you know, and it felt like home, because prior to, I have had run-ins where I was honest and people were like, and I was like, okay, all right, whatever.
Honestly, part of the reason why I made the author council, because, you know, transparency, y'all know I believe in that on this podcast. I had, again, run-ins with people where I was just like, okay, do you want me to be honest or do you want me to hype you up? Like, and they were like, no, I want you to be honest. And the thing is, I feel like a lot of authors think that when you ask them that, that your honesty is going to be hype. But I'm like, I separated those two options for a reason, right? But it's like, okay, you want me to be honest? I'm being honest with you. But then that feedback isn't well received. And it's just like straight up ignored. And my thing, my personal gripe, I don't like wasting my time. I don't have a lot of it. So I'm like, okay, if I sit here and I give you a breakdown analysis of your story that you asked me to read, that I took time out of my day to read, and I'm like, okay, this could be better. And then you just, like, you just ignore that. I'm never going to give you honest feedback again, because it's like, okay, you don't want it. And that's not what you're looking for. So, but I realized that we just hit an hour and Ben does not like it when the podcast goes over an hour. So we are going to wrap this up. If you guys want Tatiana on the podcast again, let me know. Hit me up, because I mean, she's great. She's wonderful. Who wouldn't want her back on the podcast? But that being said, two questions and then I'm going to take us out of here. Right. I don't know why I did that like that. Like, we're on TV. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. If you guys are in the chat and have any questions, this is your time to drop it. We may be able to do like a little separate segment if you guys have multiple ones. But Tatiana, writing advice that you would give to anyone just now starting out on their journey.
Just now starting out? Read. And, you know, like, not just like read and then share your work. Because I feel like a lot of beginner authors, it's very easy to keep it with you or even wait or, you know, like, keep working on it for years until it's ready. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, you grow the fastest when you finally share your work. So beginner writers, don't be afraid to share your work.
Agreed. I can't ramble because I gotta wrap this up. Okay. Can you let the people know where on the internet they can find you should they want to?
Sure. My handle is at Obey the Author everywhere on the interweb, on social media. And then my website is TatianaOwee.com.
There you go. Y'all already know there will be links in the show notes / description box of wherever you are listening to this at. So get into it. But that is it for this episode of the Written to Melanin podcast, you guys. If you'd like to support this podcast, then please share it with someone you think may enjoy it. Join my Patreon at patreon.com/ Written in Melanin. Or grab a copy of my books from my website, cmlockhart.com. There are links in the show notes for everything. And thank you guys again so much for listening. Until next time, I hope all your books are full of melanin.